I'm going to do something a little bit different. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to break off where I was preaching on through. I guess the Lord knew I needed this. Amen. Boy, I tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm chopping with a dull axe. Did you ever feel that way? That helped me out tonight. I'll tell you, I'll get off of that. Lord, we need you tonight. And God, we thank you for this time we've had already. Lord, if we was to dismiss right now, Lord, it's been a blessing to come to church. I thank you, Lord, for sending these men down here tonight to encourage us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just mightily bless them and keep your hand upon them, Lord. And God, fill their souls and hearts with faith. And I pray, Lord, that you'll do the same for us. God, we need faith. God, to keep on keeping on day after day, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. God, we need a fresh infusion of your oil upon our lives. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. God, we need that. And we ask you to anoint us tonight with fresh oil. I pray, God, that you'll do something in my life tonight. Lord, if you don't do anything for these folks, I pray, God, that you work this that you've been dealing with me on, that you'll put it into my life and make me practice what I'm going to preach tonight. Lord, this ain't necessarily something we can, Lord, get all excited about. And maybe, Lord, not the most exciting thing, God, but it's the most needed thing. And God, without this, there's never any shouting time. There's never any rejoicing time, Lord, without this. Oh, God, tonight, I pray, make us a people that know how to go into the closet and pray. And know, God, that when we come out, somewhere along the road of life, we'll see openly the answer to our prayers. And we'll see mighty hand of God work in our lives. God, make us to be men and women, children, people, a church of prayer. Oh, God, tonight, forgive us for our sin of prayerlessness. And God, I'm asking you tonight, Lord, as I'm heading down the stretch now, teach me to pray. God, don't let us just go on and depend upon our flesh, but teach us to pray. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6 tonight and verse number 6. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Jesus gave us three things to do in secret. One of them he said to give in secret. The other he said to fast in secret. The other he said to pray in secret. Now there's nothing wrong with public prayer and there's nothing wrong with church prayer and there's nothing wrong with united prayer and we're two, pray together and I'm negating that. But I want to say something to you. If I could tell you one thing that's needed in my life, it's the prayer closet. If there's anything I fight, it's the prayer closet. Let me tell you something. Satan don't fight me preaching near as bad as he does me praying. Satan won't fight you on many things as bad as he will on praying. I want to ask you a blunt question. Now, do you have a prayer closet? Do you have a place where you can get alone with God and pray? And are you taking the time to pray? The Bible said in this passage of Scripture, but thou, when thou prayest, he didn't say if you pray. He assumes and expects that when we pray, he said, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I think if there's anything missing in our Christianity today, And like I say, these guys, I know they came all fired up and probably wanted me to preach a message, but I can't help it. I'm going to preach what God put on my heart tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you folks tonight, God's been dealing with your pastor. Reggie, you're not praying in the closet like you need to. Amen. I'm going to be the first tonight to confess that I need to get some priorities straightened up. James chapter 5, verse 16 says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to tell you something. I will tell these guys this. This truck stop stuff don't happen without prayer. And I want to say tonight to you that you can think Wednesday night is boring if you want to. You can think Wednesday night don't amount to too much, but I will tell you it's the most important service we have at this church. Amen. You may think it's not too exciting to come here and listen to a bunch of prayer requests and half of them bores you to death and you're not interested in hearing about all the details. But I will tell you this, that getting on our knees and just humbly asking God to intervene in those lives and to do His work through us is how it gets done. It's not going to get, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I just want to encourage us as a body of believers tonight, if there's ever a time we need to double up on our praying, it's right now. I don't know, I'm not a great man of prayer, never have been, but I want to be. And I'm realizing more all the time that prayer is where it's at. Preaching ain't worth a dime apart from prayer. I've been blessed to have a lot of people praying for me over the years while I preach. And I'm telling you, I've sensed at times even studying messages and even preaching, people's praying for me. I want you to know something tonight. I know I don't have to ask somebody. I don't have to wonder about it. I know prayer works. I know prayer works. I have felt it. I have seen it. I have experienced prayer working in my life. And if there's anything, and you know I'm telling you the truth tonight, if there's anything the devil will work on you about, it's your prayer life. And you know I'm telling you the truth. The devil would rather you read the Bible than get on your knees in the prayer closet. He'd rather you give a tract to somebody than get on your knees in the prayer closet. He'd rather you attend church three times a week than get in the prayer closet. I'm telling you tonight, I want to see God do great and mighty things in this congregation for a long time from now that Jesus comes, and I know it'll happen if we learn to be a people of prayer. You say, Reggie, where's the closet at? It's any place of privacy. I'm telling you, sometimes it's out of my driveway. Sometimes it's in my truck. Sometimes it's where nobody else is at. But I'm telling you, first of all, primarily a closet place is some place where you can get away from people. And I'm talking about getting away from your own husband, your own wife, your own children. A place where you're alone with God. But specifically, it's a place away from the ears of people. Now listen to me. It is critical. Jesus knew this. And I'll give you some evidence of His own life. He's not giving you something He didn't practice Himself. But it's a place where you can get away from the ears of other people. First of all, you've got to believe there's power in prayer. You've got to believe that He said, if you'll pray in secret, I will reward you openly. You've got to decide to believe that tonight before you're going to go do this. Before you decide, I'm going to have a prayer closet in my life. Did you know that it was said of Susanna Wesley with what was it, 19 children, how many children she had, that she didn't have a big wide house and she didn't have all these places. She really, honest to goodness, couldn't hardly get away. She said that she sometimes took her apron and throwed over her head just to get alone with God. I don't know where your closet's going to be at, but you better find you a closet. Let me tell you something. If God doesn't intervene in this country, we're in for some rough, rough stuff in this country. I'm telling you, this country is going to hell, and I mean it's going in a bad way. And I mean the devil and his crowd is after Christians. And I'm telling you something, it's going to be through the power of prayer. Nehemiah did not rebuild the walls. The first thing he did was pray. And he prayed. And every time they had a crisis, they prayed. And I'm saying to you, it's a place away from the ears of other human beings. Number two, it's a spiritual state in a sense too, because I can have a prayer closet while I'm preaching tonight. There's a place inside me you can't see tonight. There's a place inside Reg Kelly you can't honestly see. There's a place in you tonight. You can be sitting here and there's a prayer closet going on in your heart and your mind. I'm glad tonight that you can pray in the midst of a crowd. And aren't you glad God gives you that inner sanctum, that inner place, that inner person? But you know something about a closet is also, and I got to thinking about this, and this kind of blessed my heart, it's a storehouse too. I've got a closet in Karen Nye's bedroom. There's a closet on the side, and there's times I go in there and I close that door. I literally do what it said. I walk in that closet, I shut the door, and I get on my knees and usually on my face before God. You know what I got to think about the other day? That's a store closet. That's where we store our clothes. Then I got to thinking here a while back, there's a little old pantry Karen's got up there, and it's a little bitty old room. But inside it, there's all kinds of food. The grandkids have already learned where that room's at. They've learned how to get in there. But did you know what? It's a storehouse. And do you know what God is saying about the prayer closet? It's a storehouse. It's a place where you can go to get the supplies and the needs of life that you have. God says, come into the closet. Come into this place I've got set aside. Come into this place where I've got a storehouse for you and get your needs and your request of life. Moses went away to Mount Sinai 40 days. 40 days he went away. You know what? How many of us could do that? He said, man, I can't afford not to work. That's what Satan wants. He wants us to get so locked up that we can't even afford to get away with the Lord. 40 days he was in Mount Sinai. Jacob was left alone and wrestled with the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Your spirituality is not a dime bit better than the time you have alone with God, and I don't care what you do in church. Your spirituality is not any greater than your prayer life. Amen? Let me tell you something. I get up here and preach and go on, but if I'm not praying at home, it's a joke. If I don't have a personal walk with God, if I don't have a private prayer life with God, all my hollering and hooting don't mount to a hill of beans. Any old can rattle. And I'm telling you something, it's your real spirituality is what people don't see in that secret place, that prayer closet. That's where it's at. It really is. Moses went up in the mountain. Jacob was left alone and wrestled all night with the Lord. You know what he did? He sent all of his family ahead. He sent all the kids ahead. He was by himself with God. And that's the need of our day, is get alone with God. Elijah was one who got alone with prayer. Peter got on the rooftop, the Bible said, and the Lord met him up there and gave away from everybody to prayer time. In Mark chapter 1, take your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I want to give you four scriptures. I want you to mark them down tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35. Everybody there, say amen. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and done what? You know what he did? Jesus Christ got up before all the day's activities, before all the day's pressures, before the clock bell said, you know what, if I'm not careful, I time it where I just barely get up and got enough time to get where I'm supposed to go and get done what I'm supposed to do. Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus said, you know what, it's important to pray before I go out in the day. I want to encourage us in this church, let's take time to pray. Let's get up. If God wakes us up, let's get up. Let's go someplace. Let's get on our knees and let's pray before we go out. The Bible said in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there prayed. He didn't practice yoga either. Amen? I'm sick of that stuff. I'm sick of the yoga moment of silence and all the other junk our government's throwing out at us. I'll tell you what, we need to pray. Amen. We need to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and pray. I'm saying this. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45. I'm sorry, Mark 46. Mark 6, verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. The indication here is that he went alone to a place. That was his closet. He went into that solitary place. He went into that mountain. It may be your garden. It may be the bedroom. I'll tell you this many times. I'll close the door to our bedroom and just kneel down there. And I try every night before I go to bed. I try every night to get on my knees. My mother-in-law gave me years ago, she gave me a sheepskin. And I don't know if you understand the implications of that sheepskin to pray on, but I'm praying on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. She gave me that sheepskin to pray on. And every time it's laying out beside my bed. I never go to bed, but when I look down at that sheepskin and think about the fact that Jesus shed his blood for me, and that my access to God is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lamb that was slain for my sin. You know what I believe I'd do if I was you? I'd give my children getting married a sheepskin to pray on. Wouldn't be a bad wedding gift, would it? He said he went out into a solitary place. He departed into a mountain to pray. It's good to take a walk in the woods. I heard a preacher preach a while back. He said, I ain't going out in the woods and pray. He said, too many snakes and ticks. Well, that's all right. Find you a place where you can pray, though. Amen. Get a place where you're alone. I'm telling you, life's too busy. Ralph, ain't it busy? I bet you know the job you got. I bet you just got to be up and go, and it's back home, and then you got to try to fix things. If you ain't careful, life's just too busy. Donnie, I hear about every week. I hear you talk about how too busy. You're busy, busy. Donnie, if you ain't careful, me and you gonna look back and say we's too busy. I'll tell you, if we're too busy. You know, old Bill Ring used to be on the radio station KWTO Springfield, and he always signed off. You're too. He had a little fishing program. He'd always tell you what fish is biting where. I never did believe that stuff, but anyway, he'd say, if you're too busy, go fishing. You're too busy. Amen. Let me tell you something. If we're too busy to pray, we're too busy. We are too busy. I'm going to encourage you to write down your time and your place of prayer with God each day. I want to tell you something. I know something about my mom and dad. You know what? They're just as wicked and just as sinful as anybody else on God's green earth. But I do know something about my mama. I know my mama prays. And I'll tell you what I'd say to you right now. A lot of whatever I am today is because of my folks' prayers. Amen. Don't you mom and daddies give up on praying. God said if you enter into your closet and shut your door and pray in secret, He'd reward you openly. I dare you. I challenge you. I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ to try to take Him at His word. God will answer your prayer. God will reward you openly if you pray. Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse number 16. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 16. The Bible said he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He withdrew himself into the wilderness. Do you know what you need to do is sometimes withdraw yourself? I can tell you, how many already knows what you're going to do tomorrow? I wonder if you've got a time set for prayer before you go do the things you think you're supposed to do. I wonder if you're going to take time to pray before you really head out. I'm telling you something, we're going about it backwards if we don't. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Boy, what a Savior we've got. You see, when he told you in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 to go in your closet and pray, he wasn't telling you something he wasn't already doing. He wasn't telling you to do something he wasn't already doing. It is said of this, and I've got a deal on this, and there's too many accounts of this in history, I believe, for it not to be true, that it is said that George Washington in Valley Forge in that winter, there's a man that owns some land near Valley Forge who was in his woods one day. And have you ever seen the picture of George Washington kneeling on the ground and the horse behind him? That picture came off of a man who walked up on George Washington praying. The man who owned the land, George Washington, had led his horse out into the wilderness. He was down on his knees in the snow praying for God to take that army through. Did you know George Washington told his troops? Can I tell you something? Do you know what George Washington did during the Revolutionary War? He found out there was a sodomite in the army, and he drummed him out. He brought that man before the whole army, the Revolutionary Army, and drummed him out. He also commanded his men that on Sundays you will worship God. Amen. We've gotten away from the founding of this country. And I'll tell you something. I want to ask you something. What would you do if you changed America? Would you get rid of all the pornography and the indecency? Would you chase the Muslim? You know what? If I could be king of America for a day, I'd deport every sodomite. I'd deport every Amen. Porn peddler. Amen. I'd deport every Muslim and Hindu and Buddhist. And I'd get it. I'd say, you don't want to be a Christian? You don't live in this country. It's a Christian nation. I tell you, if that bozo up there's got the guts to tell the world that we're not a Christian nation, I've got the guts to tell him we are a Christian nation. I want to tell you something. It's through prayer, through Christ, that this nation is what it is. The freedom that they're enjoying, the freedom that all these immigrants want to come here, was gotten because of Christ. It wasn't gotten because of some man's humanistic ideas. And I want to tell you something. I don't know. I'm all upset. I'm telling you something. I'm ready to ring a bell somewhere. I think we're going to have a civil war. I think that's where it's going to come to. I'm honest with you. If we don't have a civil war, they'll just run over us. And the Constitution is the law of this land. And you say, Red, you're supposed to be submitted to the authority. I am. The Constitution is the highest authority. And I'll tell you again, when those guys rebel against our Constitution, they have forfeited their right to be our rulers. And that Constitution tells me that when they become tyrannical like that, that I have a duty to throw off those type of governments. We need to be praying that God will raise up patriot Christians all across this nation to stand and say, no more. It's enough of it. You're done. It's not going to happen anymore. Van just got through telling me. An employee of the federal government, meat inspector, was demoted because he would not participate in Gay Pride Month. Federal government, with all the problems we got, is sending out letters to federal employees that they better support Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. That's what kind of leadership we've got. And that's why I'm not interested in sending anybody up there playing regular party politics anymore. I want to know, what does that man believe? What will he stand for when the pressure comes? And that man is going to, and they're going to take, what did you say, knock him down two more notches. You know what they want them to do? They want each federal employee to send in a picture of themselves so they can put it on some kind of an internet deal saying I am supporting Gay and Lesbian Pride Month as a federal employee. That's sick. And by the way, that sounds to me like a mafia mob job. That's what we've got up there, is a bunch of Chicago thugs and mafia people. That's all we've got up there. And I'll tell you something else. We need to support these military men who are refusing to obey him. Amen. It's not right. But I want to tell you something. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world. And it's going to be through prayer. You listen to me. I wonder what would happen if the true Christians of America got in their closets tomorrow and said, God Almighty, do something to save this nation.
Hallelujah.
I just wonder what would happen. I'm just saying this to you. If we're not careful, we think it's through somebody expressing these things. And I know verbalization of truths is important and all that. But I tell you something, we're missing out on prayer. American people are griping and groaning and complaining and whining. But how many of us have hit the prayer closet? How many of us have spent all night in prayer for America? That's the thing. There's purpose and benefits of praying in the closet. First of all, it gets rid of distractions. I'm going to be honest with you. Praying at church is great, and I'll tell you it's important, and I do not want to detract from it. But let me tell you something. When you're all by yourself, there ain't much can distract you from prayer. If you're not careful, people being around you, people hearing you and so forth, kind of it has an effect on you about praying. I'm telling you, the Bible's very clear about it. You ought to be careful about praying. You know, if you're around somebody, to be honest with you, I don't even pray the secret things in my heart when Karen's with me. You believe me that? You know, there are some things, Brother Ralph, so sacred to me, I don't even pray them when I'm with Karen. There are some things that's so personal between me and God, and you know something, I don't go around confessing my sins with her in earshot. There are some things God knows you need in a prayer closet with nobody within earshot. And Jesus said, get alone, get alone. Shut that TV off, shut that radio off, get away from people, go somewhere, get alone with God. I'm telling you what, this is honest truth, and I've said this before, and I want to start being quick on it. But the greatest infusion of spiritual power I ever received in my life was out in the woods on my face praying along with God for about an hour and a half. And I live down there in the hollow where Van lives back up. I can almost take you to the spot. And I'm going to tell you something. I was desperate, and I got along with God, and I cried out to God, and I'm going to tell you, God, the Holy Ghost came on me, and He infused in me a power. He took all fear of man out of me. He put something in me. I didn't care if hell itself come at me. You know what I'm saying tonight? We need that. And you say, Reggie, where does that stuff happen at? It happens when you get alone with God. It happens when you get alone with God. The fact of it is, I need it again. But it gets rid of distractions. You may need to pray out loud. By the way, now let me say something to you. There's not just outer distractions, but there's inner distractions. And I'm telling you something. You can start praying, and I want to give you a little hint. It may not help you, but it helps me. If you pray out loud when you're by yourself, and you know, see, this is the deal about getting away from people. Because if you don't pray out loud, sometimes your minds are going over here. You're trying to pray, and your mind's running like this. If you pray out loud, there's something about praying out loud when nobody can hear you and crying out to God and verbalizing your prayer that it helps you not be distracted because you're hearing your own voice, and it takes away the distraction. Then there's not only that. Secondly, it gives freedom from fleshly subconsciousness of other people's hearing. There's something that makes me sick. I can't hardly stand it. I don't like to pray with anybody that starts praying flowery prayers about me. Oh, Lord, bless Brother Reg. He's been such a blessing to me. Don't do that to me.
Amen.
You may mean it, but just I don't need it. I don't need it. It distracts me. Be careful how you're praying about who's with you or who's around and who's hearing you pray. You may mean it with all your heart, but the devil may tell them you're just trying to butter them up. Be careful. It gives freedom from fleshly subconsciousness of other people hearing. When you're by yourself, ain't nobody there's no condemnation, there's no benefit. So number three, your heart can be honest and real. Pray about matters that you don't pray for about with other people. There are things I pray about. There are expressions of my heart. I can't pray. About some things that's in my heart when I'm around other people. I'm just being honest. There's things, I may quietly, I may secretly inside, but I'm talking about there's some things in everybody's life that nobody else needs to be around that's between you and God that you need to really pour your heart out to the Lord. I believe with all my heart, one of the things we're missing is that ability to get along with God and pour our hearts out to God without reservation. I mean, open the chamber up and let it flood out and have an openness with God. Number four, humility. Let me tell you about praying in the closet. Ain't no room for pride there. You see, if you're not careful, you're trying to impress other people with your prayers, or you're very conscious of what other people knows you're saying. Now, here's the secret, here's the beauty of it. When you're praying by yourself, and there's no room for pride in there, what happens is it produces humility. You pray alone with God. Here's the thing. God gets you alone. First thing you know, you're getting more humble than you would have. And with humility comes the grace of God. And as God humbles you in your prayer time, then God pours His grace in. God can't give you grace until He's brought you humble. And here's a promise. You take your Bible. How many could stand a revival?
Amen.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 57, verse. I don't know why I never saw this years ago. God gives a formula for Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57. I'll tell you what, I thank God for sending these boys up tonight. It helped me to know how backslid I am. Amen. Don't you guys see somebody happy about their salvation? Don't you guys see somebody happy they ain't going to hell? I mean, most of the world's going around like, yeah, I'm saved. And I've gotten over it too. That's the truth. Amen. I'm glad God takes it. That's why I like these truckers. They're just my kind. Amen. I'm honest with you. You don't get that. I guarantee you can't get that at a preacher's conference. They're all trying to impress each other. Hey, wouldn't it be a preacher in the crowd stand up and act foolish enough to that? Bless God, I got them. I'm just telling you. Isaiah 57, verse number 15, look at it. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And here's what he says. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God said, if you let me get you alone and you get you away from everybody else and you let me humble you and let me break you, I will revive a broken spirit. I'll revive a contrite heart. He said, I'll revive the spirit of the humble and I'll revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'm telling you tonight, if we'll get along with the Holy One and let God break us and let God just knock all that junk and all that garbage and spend time with God and get along with God, we'll see God do some things. And then sixthly, he said, I'll reward you openly. If that's not enough, I don't know what else is. That's one of the benefits of getting in the closet. Now, let me close out by saying this tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 through 2, it tells this, that he said, I will that all men pray everywhere. You know that verse? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting and so forth like that. And it gives four things. It gives supplications. This will be a blessing to you. Somebody asked me one time, Ray, said, what's the difference between supplication and prayer? Not much. They're close. I can give you 8 to 10 scriptures in the Bible where prayer and supplication is mentioned in the same verse. But let me give you why. One reason I believe it mentions supplication before it ever mentions prayer. Did you ever hear the word supply? Supplication. God, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. God says, you come into your closet, you tell me what you need, and you give us something. Now, supplication is an urgent and humble and honest plea for God's help in personal needs. God wants you and I to be dependent upon him. Amen. Let me tell you something. You know what you need? You need an old-fashioned, good, hard crisis in your life that drives you to your prayer closet that man could not have fixed, and let God show himself strong so you can tell your children the reality of God. You may say to me tonight, Brother Reggie, I'll tell you what we're going. You don't know, Reggie, what we're going through. I know I don't know, and you don't know what some other folks in this church has gone through, and you don't know what I've gone through. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God may be allowing that crisis, that problem, that sorrow, that pain, that horrible thing going on in your life, that you get in your prayer closet, and you come out of that prayer closet someday, and God has rewarded you openly, and you say, kids, listen, I don't have to ask. It's not verbally, it's experimentally. I know God hears. I know God answers prayer. Brother, I'm telling you something. We got to have that. Let me tell you what. Just yesterday, we had a deal there, and there's a couple there, and I walked over to them, and I don't know what it was. It gave them something there. No, I know what it was. We had asked the blessing for the food, and then I walked over, and this lady said to me, she said, we've been going to church. They're from up around Raleigh or somewhere up in there. I forget now. Towards St. Louis. She said, we'll be going to church. And, you know, I didn't know where that come. And I realized, well, we just got to ask some blessing and something kind of clicked. She says, been going to Cowboy Church. Well, I said, that's great. That's good. And I thought, well, you know, y'all know what Cowboy Church is? Okay. You rope them up and you bring them in. Right, you go out and rope the calves, all right? Now, what's happened across the country is there's been a deal, kind of a deal called Cowboy Church, all right? And I'm going to tell you what the deal's going on about it, is that they're getting people and some old boys to come to church that they don't comfortable in regular church. Now, I'm not saying, I'm going to tell you something. I don't go for this, that, or the other thing. I just think you ought to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ and I don't think you have to tag stuff. But I'll say this, if it'll get some guys in, if it'll get them to listen to the gospel. But here was the sweet part about it. You know what they said? They said, both of us raised Catholic, went to Catholic church all our life, but they just got to where there wasn't nothing there. And they've been going to a sale barn that's having cowboy church. And they said, boy, we're really liking it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. You keep it going, would you? You keep it going. But what I'm saying to you is people are looking for something real. They're looking for something real. And here's where I'm going with this. Your kid's going to grow up under your feet here in this church. And you're going to say, well, we took him to church and we took him down to Reg Kelly and he just preached. Oh, he's mocked it. Well, and you think that my preaching is going to get your kid's face grounded? Mm-mm. Ain't going to do it. Let me tell you something God will never do. God will never ground your kids with a preacher if you ain't going to do it at your house.
Amen.
I will say to you, listen to me. Your kids have got to see God answer prayer.
Amen.
They have got to see God answer prayer.
Amen.
And you like this or not, answered prayer is the greatest argument against unbelief and infidelity there is in the world. And I want
to
ask you a question now. Can you tell your kids something about where God heard and answered prayer? Can you say, kids, listen, this was not some man hopped up deal. This did, we couldn't connive this up. This did, we didn't give God a back out plan. Only God could have done that. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm rejoicing in my life right now because I went through a situation in the last several years where I know my kids, either they're going to be as dumb as a rock or they're going to know God did something. I mean, they're going to know it was God. They're going to know it wasn't something that we could have done. It wasn't something that man's conniving could do. They had to know that God did it, and it has to be through prayer.
Amen.
And that's what will pass on and stick with them, is knowing that God was there and God answered prayer. Supplications, an earnest and humble plea for God. Let me tell you this, we're out of here. Number one, he set a definite time when thou prayest. Set a time. Set a time. Set a time to pray. Number two, a definite place. Enter into thy closet. I don't know where your closet's at. Jeremy, I don't know where your closet's at. It might be in your pickup truck. But set a place. Dale, I don't know where your closet's at. Set a place. I don't know where your closet may be, men, ladies, but set a place. Set a time. Should you have family prayer? You bet. Should you pray with your husband? You bet. Should you pray with your kids? You bet. But I'm telling you something, we need a closet to pray on. Now, those of you who are single and don't have a family, you don't have much trouble there. You got a closet all the time, don't you? Mr. Gase is shaking her head. Set a time when thou prayest. David said, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. Set a definite place. Enter into thy closet and pray. Now, I know this ain't a hooping and hollering message, but I'm going to tell you it'll help you if you'll practice what I've just got through preach. And you pray for me that I'll practice what I preach tonight, okay? Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we need you. Lord, the truth about it is tonight, as much as we need Bible study and much as we need preaching, Lord, we need praying. And God, I know in my heart and my spirit we'll never be more than we are in prayer. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll put in the hearts of this church and start with me to have a definite time and a definite place where I meet you in private, secret prayer. God, you said, and you don't lie, Lord, that when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Lord, help us to always know and remember and believe with every ounce in our fiber and our soul that you see and you hear our prayer. And you said, Lord, you would reward us openly.
Amen.
God, make us, if nothing else tonight, we don't ask you, Lord, for a beautiful, some kind of gorgeous building. Lord, I'm not interested in it. I'm not asking you, Lord, for the biggest church in the country. And I'm not asking, Lord, asking you to make us a people of prayer. God, I'm asking you to put something by the power of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls in this church tonight. Lord, I tell you what, if we'd have people to pray. Oh, God. Lord, tonight I pray for America. I pray for this nation. God, you said judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. I don't know, Lord, everything we've got to do, but Lord, I'm praying that you'll intervene for this nation. God, start with us. God, make us to be a people of prayer. And Lord, may we see great and mighty things through the power of prayer. God, may we see personal cleansing, and may God, we spend time with you and let the light of your holiness shine on our hearts and search us out, that we may know ourselves as you know us, God, and see the filth and the rottenness and the inconsistency and the hypocrisy in our hearts. And God, to the point of where we're not worried about other people, we're concerned about our heart. And then God, as you cleanse our hearts, God, may we through the cleanness of soul, Lord, and you said if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. God, David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. God, we pray that would be in us. And Lord, we'd be on right praying ground where nothing's hindering our prayer. Lord, you said our sins have separated us from you. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us to be honest, Lord, nothing hindering our honesty of our heart. You said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Lord, make it so tonight that we don't hide nothing, deceive ourselves into thinking that we're hiding something from you. And oh God, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. Jesus, may we join you in that solitary place, away from people. And may we learn the value and the importance, God. Do it, Holy Ghost, for Jesus' sake in our lives, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night.